I'm Laura Murphy Oates, and this is The Full Story.
Samoans went to the polls to cast their votes yesterday. Joining us to give us his take on the preliminary results and what it means for Samoa is political commentator Mataafa Kenny Lesar. Mataafa, thank you.
Last month, Samoa, located halfway between Hawaii and New Zealand, held an election that some are calling the most dramatic election in the country's history.
Tell us, what do you make of the results?
Talofalava to you, Marama.
Thank you. What do you make of the results that you have right now?
Well, it's a very interesting time for Samoa.
This Polynesian island nation is a parliamentary republic that has a head of state with the title of His Highness and a prime minister, Tuila'epa. At the time of the election, Tuila'epa was the second longest serving prime minister in the world. But his reign was put in jeopardy when his deputy PM quit, joined a new party and decided to run against him.
People have been calling her prime minister-elect. She has indeed been elected. But any objections to her are political and tribal. They are not legal and they're not constitutional.
What followed was a political deadlock, a parliamentary lockout, a Supreme Court intervention, and a swearing-in ceremony unlike any other.
Wow, what a strange, strange time this is. What is happening today?
Today, the fraught election that's threatening democracy in Samoa.
It's a sad, dark, consequential game now, isn't it?
It's Thursday, the 27th of May.
So I'm Langipoiva Sherelle Jackson. I currently correspond for The Guardian and I'm an independent journalist. I report for other media outlets. I was born and brought up in Savai'i, which is the bigger island in Samoa. I was raised by a woman high chief. So it was pretty amazing childhood in Samoa about this issue and the political issues that arose in the past 45 days has been one of the most interesting stories I've ever covered as a journalist.
Yeah, it must be such a surreal time, really, to be someone who reports on Samoa.
Super surreal.
So can you talk me through what happened on Monday at Parliament House in Samoa?
So Monday was a historical day for Samoa, no doubt about it. It was one of the most emotional scenes that we've ever seen, you know, on the grounds of parliaments in Samoa.
Constitutional crisis is unfolding in Samoa after the country's prime minister-elect was barred from taking her oath of office.
The head of state called for the convening of parliament on Monday to meet the deadline for 45 days after, you know, the general election. And so you had hundreds of people walk up to Parliament House to the convening of parliament.
FAST party leader Fiamme Naomi Mataafa showed up to be inaugurated following an election victory. However, the doors of parliament were locked.
Only to find that the house was locked, the doors were locked.
Mm.
And what followed was a very interesting sequence of events.
Can you talk me through, at this point, who was inside Parliament and who was outside Parliament and why they were locked out?
Okay, so the Parliament House was empty and it was locked. And the woman who won the election, a free and fair election, was refused entry into the House of Parliament to take her seat and be sworn in as the next Prime Minister of Samoa.
Talofa and greetings to my fellow Samoans. Today was an extraordinary day for Samoa.
Tell me about her.
Fiamme Naomi Mataafa is this amazing leader. She is the granddaughter of one of the leaders of the civil rights movement in Samoa, the Mau movement. Her father was the first prime minister of Samoa. Her mother was one of the first women to become members of parliament. She was a non-government organization leader, a public servant, well-regarded orator in her own right. Fiamme entered politics to carry on the legacy of her parents. But it wasn't that legacy that maintained her there. It was really by her own abilities as a chief, as a really astute politician.
The warrants of election, which declared 51 members of parliament as the representatives you wish to lead this country for the next 5 years under my leadership as Prime Minister-elect.
Okay, so Fia May rocks up to Parliament to be sworn in as Prime Minister. Who locked her out?
So essentially the House of Parliament was locked by Tula Epasailele Malielengoi, who has ruled Samoa, was the Prime Minister for Samoa for 22 years. He is the leader of the Human Rights Protection Party, also a well-respected leader in the Pacific. But, you know, some say that this is his desperate cling for power, that he locked this woman out, who was democratically elected to become the next Prime Minister, out of the House of Parliament.
22 years is an incredibly long time to be the leader of a country. I mean, how long is that? Has he been leader the whole time that you've been working as a reporter?
I was in high school when he became Prime Minister. And from then on, that's been the only guy. Well, as a journalist, it's great because then you only had to memorize one name for a Prime Minister over the years. But, you know, unfortunately, he seemed to still want to remain that leader.
What does Fia May do after realizing that the doors are locked?
Fia May turns up to Parliament, the doors are locked, there's hundreds of people behind her, all of her elected members of Parliament in her party. They turn around, there is a tent in front of Parliament, they walk back into it, and they sit down, and they wait.
State didn't come. The legislative office locked the building, so we couldn't access it.
That's despite the Supreme Court ordering Parliament to reconvene, the Chief Justice and fellow judges joining a march to the building, concerned the rule of law wasn't being followed. They were also kept out.
So she stood up, she did a speech, and she basically was calming the crowd and saying, look, let's remain peaceful. Let us give the head of state and the judiciary an opportunity to turn up, because those two need to turn up for Parliament to convene. And so this was around 8:30 when she did this speech. Officially, Parliament was meant to convene at 9:30. So at 9:30, the Chief Justice and the whole judiciary arrived to enter Parliament. And one of the most heart-wrenching, heartwarming things I've ever seen in my life is the Chief Justice in his full regalia walking up to the doors of the House of Parliament, touching the door to open it, and then he couldn't open it. It was locked shut.
Wow.
Then turning around and then walking back with the judiciary behind him, walk back to court. I mean, it's one of those scenes where it's like, oh, okay, so this is our country. This is what's happening now. It's just unbelievable. I never, ever thought this would ever happen, you know, in Samoa.
So I'm wondering if we can go back a little bit and try and explain how this dramatic scene actually came about.
Well, it started late last year when Fia May, who was Deputy Prime Minister at the time, resigned and left the party and resigned from her role as Deputy Prime Minister in protest of three bills, controversial bills that were introduced by the Prime Minister, effectively lessening the power of the judiciary. So she stood on principle and with integrity and left the party.
So as we know, she joins this party, the FAST Party. Can you explain who they are and what they stand for?
So FAST was established in late June of 2020 by a senior member of HRPP who also left in protest of the same bills. They define themselves as those who oppose what they describe as an overreach of power by the government. And late last year, election was called for 9th April. FAST quickly put together a list of candidates, and they had just over 50 candidates. HRPP had over 100 candidates.
How many do you need to win?
So it's 51 seats. So you'll need 26 in order to win.
Okay, so tell me about how this election played out.
What followed was a period of aggressive campaigning by both sides. Social media played a key role, with both parties using Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to engage with voters. Overall, FAST had a much larger reach online than HRPP. So even with the popularity of FAST online, there was still some doubt that they would actually gain enough seats to be an opposition or to even take over governments. And in fact, this was also what Fiume said herself. She said, look, we're playing the long game. This is just the start. We're looking at the next election.
Okay, so they went in as the underdog to this election, basically. What happened in this election?
So they went in as the underdog. So everyone was thinking, okay, we're going to have another HRPP party, but hopefully we'll have an opposition.
You know, this is a country that's still waking up to what unfolded last night and late in the early hours of this morning. And, you know, they are very interesting results, although they are
No one expected this very young party, established merely 6 months prior, to take 25 seats.
A lot of people expected FAST to do really, really well. But to have them come up in equal footing with the HRPP, I think that's a surprise to everyone. But having said that, look, I think this...
On the island I'm from, they won 15 out of 20 seats. That is huge. No one expected that.
So what were the final results?
When the official results were declared, there was 25 seats for FAST, the fresh baby party, and 25 seats for HRPP, which had been in power for 39 years. That shocked everyone. And in the middle was an independent member, Tuala Bonifacio. Mm. So it was essentially up to this one man to decide who was going to rule Samoa, who was going to be prime minister. Mm. Lo and behold, 9 p.m. the night before, the head of state proclaims that an extra seat for women has been added, and it happens to be a HRPP candidate.
So wait, the head of state, so not the prime minister, steps in and just creates an extra seat for the governing party of the time. Is that right?
Yep. That's right. So the government essentially used affirmative action, which was meant to increase the number of women in parliament as a way to increase their seats and match the seats of FAST yet again.
But this final hour intervention also has the effect of blocking Fiume from becoming prime minister, right?
So this is the greatest irony. An affirmative action to include more women in parliament was utilized to prevent the rise of a woman to a prime minister position in our parliament.
So what happened next?
So as expected, after the proclamation by the head of state to add an additional seat for HRPP, making their seats 26, the next day, Bonifacio joins FAST, making their seats 26. So now we went from a tie of 25-25 to 26-26.
So, a deadlock. What do they do?
They go to the courts. They utilize legal means. FAST challenged the addition of the woman's seat, and there were also 28 petitions challenging winning candidates or MPs. And as the court cases were underway, with FAS challenging the decisions made by the Electoral Commissioner, the head of state all of a sudden declares that he is voiding the results of the 9 April election and for Samoa to head back to the polls on 21st of May, giving them just two weeks to prepare a whole fresh new general election.
Next, the fate of the second election and the spectre of conflict in Samoa. So to summarise here, after several deadlocks following the election, lots of manoeuvring, the results are just thrown out and a new election is called, but there are court challenges pending. How did this all play out?
Well, to our Talanoa now, and all eyes are on Samoa following a week of more drama.
The country was now waiting.
It all came to a head on Tuesday when the head of state announced a new election date, which has impacted and sparked more court challenges.
The most common feeling on the ground at the moment is a lot of confusion. People are really, really confused about, whether we're going to have an election, what's going to happen in terms of the court challenges and so forth.
The country is now told that there would be another general election on the 21st of May. Holidays were advertised for those 2 days. Everyone was preparing for it. The electoral officials were being trained. And they were faced with this mammoth task of organizing and implementing another national election, a mere weeks before the actual general election. And so what happened next was FAS challenged these two key decisions made by the head of state, by the Electoral Commission through the head of state. One, the addition of the seat for HRPP, and second, the new general election. So late last week, a few days before the new general election, the Supreme Court threw out both cases and FAST won. So the 26th member for HRPP was taken out and the general election was cancelled.
Wow. What was the reaction to such a momentous decision that really was altering the course of Samoan history, it sounds like?
It was huge. On social media, you could see people celebrating the upholding of the law. And also woke some people up in regards to the maneuverings made by the government to try and maintain power.
What did this mean for Fiamme and the FAS party? Had they won the election at this point?
There was a point right after the Supreme Court decisions where everyone then came to terms with the fact that we had a new government. Mm. So people were like coming to terms with it, reflecting on the leadership of Tula Epa, congratulating the FAS party. And it was a normal reaction of people to a transition of power. Mm. Some reflecting and some hopeful.
As we know, it all didn't happen as planned. Can you just talk me through what was expected to happen on Monday, what the plans were for Monday?
So after weeks of manoeuvrings by HRPP, the country's Supreme Court ordered the parliament on Sunday to convene on Monday and allow the new parliament to be sworn in, which would have ended what was already a pretty long electoral drama for us and meant that Fiamme Naomimtaafa, the leader of FAS, would become the country's first female prime minister. So that's how we ended up in front of Parliament House on Monday.
So that's where we left her last, giving a speech to her followers outside Parliament in a tent. What does she do next?
A very important part of the story is that the Samoan culture plays a big role in finessing these issues. Because I feel like if it was in another country, that would have easily led to conflict, that a leader was locked out, but it didn't. So what happened next was the clerk of the house, who is the person who would have the keys, turns up to the tent and addresses the leader of the FAST party and Prime Minister-elect Fiamme. And then there was this exchange between the two of them publicly, but it was all governed by chiefly protocol. Graham Tualaulei, the clerk of the house, had this discussion with Fiamme, and Fiamme was saying, why is the house locked? And he was saying back, I was instructed by the speaker and my minister to keep the house locked. And a very touching moment there was when Fiamme said, we really need a brave Samoan right now. You know, we really need someone brave to stand up right now and do the right thing. And, you know, he maintained his stance that he is going to keep the house locked.
So what happened next? What does she do?
So what happened next was the party then went away from the parliament grounds and met up. In the meantime, the caretaker prime minister was doing a press conference denouncing what was happening. And then there was an announcement that at 4 p.m. there would be a swearing in. But what it was two tents were set up outside, the same tents in front of Parliament House. The house was still locked. And FAST basically administered an oath ceremony upon their own ministers, members of parliament.
So they were locked out and decided just to hold their own swearing in of parliament. Is that right?
I think a good word for this is improvise. They improvised.
Yeah. What did that ceremony look like?
So the ceremony actually carried out, as it were, an official convening of parliament with the swearing in, the oath ceremony, swearing in of ministers, of the prime minister. And then afterwards, congratulatory messages and speeches, and then followed by the relevant cultural protocol that follows such events. There was singing, there were flowers, the whole works.
How does Tuila Epa react to this, this swearing-in ceremony?
Tuila Epa is angry, okay? This man who's had power for 22 years is visibly upset. There is a Facebook Live and press conference arranged at 5 p.m., like an hour after the ceremony. None of the media went because the ceremony ran over time, but he had a press conference straight afterwards, and the man is angry. He is saying things like, you know, this is not a country of stupid people, you know, accusing FAST of doing something that was totally illegal. And, you know, he was hosting a gathering of the HRPP, his party, at their headquarters. And he used terms like breaking and entering to refer to what FAST was doing.
So it does seem like Samoa is now in a whole new type of deadlock, right? We've got two parties proclaiming that they are the government. Can you describe the current situation? What has actually happened since Monday?
So currently the caretaker government, which is HRPP, is still the de facto government. Mm. At the same time, you know, many have recognized FAST as the legitimate government as well. So now we're in a stage where we just are not sure in terms of how we're going to move forward.
Do you have any idea how this deadlock could end? What possible paths there are ahead?
Tulepa on Tuesday said that he is going to bring in judges from outside of Samoa to look at the constitutional matters and look at their appeal in terms of the addition of the 26th member. So he's really trying to take it back to the courts. At the same time, he's trying to shed doubt on the legitimacy of the Supreme Court's decisions. Mm. So we're really in dangerous territory now. And then we do not know how the FAST party will actually take on power that they have assumed. Mm. It's a really complex time to be in Samoa.
Is there a concern that this will damage Samoa's reputation on the international stage, having such a disruption to the democratic process?
There's a lot of concern among Samoans that this will really do a lot of harm to the reputation of Samoa. Samoa's been a stable democracy for a long time, and having this power play and political structure and its leadership really opens us up to not just international criticism, but threatens the credibility of the nation and its democracy. And the spokesperson for the Secretary General of the UN has come out to say that the SG has urged leaders in Samoa to find solutions to the current political situation through dialogue and the best interests of the people and institutions of Samoa.
What would it actually mean for the people on the ground and for the country if this deadlock just carries on? I mean, what does the country lose out on being in such a place of instability?
We will lose out on a lot. And if the caretaker government continues to assume power without due process, it could potentially lead to conflict. And that's scary for everyone involved. The biggest factor in the maintaining of peace at the moment is the fact that we do not have a military. Mm. And the police service is maintaining law and order and sticking by the decisions of the judiciary. So that is in itself hopeful that everything will remain peaceful. Mm. And the fact that there has been no conflict so far really speaks to the power of the chiefly structure and how we settle disputes within the context of our culture. So that's really hopeful.
Thanks so much to Langipueva Sherelle Jackson for her time. You can read more of her stories, including coverage of the crisis in Samoa, in the Guardian Specific Project series. We put some links on the full story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by John Chia, Miles Herbert and Joe Koning. The executive producers of Full Story are Gabrielle Jackson and Miles Martignoni. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a rating or a review. Okay, catch you tomorrow.